The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
All right, fellas, you know something to hear men sing, and I thank God for ladies that sing. That's wonderful, but there's just something about a man getting up there and bellowing it out that just is really good. Take your Bible, go back, if you will, to Luke chapter 14, verse 23. The Bible says, "And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled." And so I'd like to speak for the time we have together on filling the house of God with what? That my house may be filled. With what? What are they going out and compelling to come in? And what is it that they're compelling to come in that's going to bring what with them to the house of God? And I want to give you just some quick thoughts tonight. I say quick, it really depends on the clarity of my mind tonight. And, of course, I already was kind of fuzzy with some of the announcements. I do have 11 pages of notes, and if my mind gets fuzzy, it'll probably turn into 22 pages of notes, but we'll try and keep it at 11, but we'll scoot along. But I want to give you some, and by the way, I wrote down a lot of stuff, and so, but I just want to cover some things that be very, very helpful when it comes to filling the house of God, filling the house of God. What is it that we should fill the house of God with? All right, statement number one, I think it's indicated and also described here, particularly in these verses, and that is this: filling the house of God with people. Filling the house of God with people. You know, I'm still beside myself with the excellent job the Weslowskis did with the Valentine's banquet last night. Over 120 people to the Valentine's banquet last night. Married couples that came together and engaged couples that came together did a wonderful job. And I relatively think back again to that first year. And to me, it's just so surprising. The first year that I was invited the first year, Mrs. Wells and I, to that Valentine's banquet, we had 20 people. And now over 120 people coming. That's an amazing thing to be able to see how couples were coming together. And that is God's people. God's people. So what is it that we should do with God's people? Well, the Bible says that we're supposed to go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be full. So God's people ought to come to church. But wait a minute, not just God's people. He says here, compel them to come. You know, everybody should be able to go to a church and feel welcome to church. Everybody should be able to go to church and just feel like, boy, I tell you what, it's a friendly place. It's a place I can hear Bible truth. It's a place where I can be admonished to be able to serve Christ and that which is encouraged to be able to serve Christ, inspired to be able to serve Christ. And so it's a place where people should be able to come and hear a clear presentation of the gospel. 23 people, I think, this morning walked an aisle receiving Christ as Savior. And thank God for that. I mean, it's a place where somebody can get a clear presentation of the gospel. You know, you still ought to go to work and thank God for that. And you do go to work, even though the gas prices is up. Well, why don't we treat church that way? You know, we go to work when we're tired. Let's treat church that way. We go to church when we're, or go to work when we're busy. Let's treat church that way. We go to work when we don't feel good. Well, maybe we can come to church when we don't feel good. We go to church or work when we don't feel like getting up early, but maybe we could go to church that way too. We go to work when the workers don't seem perfect around us. Well, maybe when you come to church, people's not going to be perfect around you. Or maybe all of a sudden when things are not going well, such as the weather, you know, it's still a good time to go to church. It's amazing to me, sometimes people are more faithful to school than they are church. Sometimes people are more faithful to Johnny's little ball game or little Susie's recital than they are to church. It's amazing to me in my generation how we see that people are more faithful to eat out or watch a television program or stay out of church with an excuse that the relatives are visiting from another town or another state. But still, you know, we ought to decide that church is an important thing. We ought to decide we're not going to miss church because we're tired. We're not going to miss church because we're too busy. We're not going to miss church because the gas prices are up. We're not going to miss church because there's a ball game on television or because there's a favorite television show. We ought to decide we're not going to miss church simply because we want to go out to eat. We don't have time for church or a friend's coming over. We ought to decide that church is just a good place for us to be able to go. Matter of fact, we ought to decide church is so good for us that we do want to invite our neighbors. We want to invite our co-workers and the doctors and the barbers and the beauticians and those that are friends and those that are waiters and waitresses and classmates and teachers and cousins and aunts and uncles. We ought to be so excited about church. By the way, can I tell you, you can be just as excited about church as you want to be. You really can. You can be excited about it if you want to. As an evangelist for 12 years when I traveled America and I preached in churches, can I tell you, I preached in some pretty dead churches, but then also I preached in some pretty live churches. I mean, sometimes it took us 3 days to raise the dead before somebody would say amen. Sometimes it was 3 days before you saw somebody come to an altar and pray. And sometimes it was just terrible. But then I preached in churches, and as soon as I opened my Bible, oh, you've got guys standing on the pew, and you got guys waving their Bibles, and you got guys shouting, and they're just having a good time in church. And by the way, if you can't have a good time in church, pray tell me tonight, where are you going to have a good time? I'm saying that here ought to be a place. What is it that we ought to do with church? What does it mean to fill the church? Well, it should be filled with people. Statement number one. Statement number two, it ought to be filled with praise. Filled with praise. Now listen to what the Bible says. The Bible says over in Psalm 42 and in verse 4, the Bible says, when I remember these things, it says, I pour out my soul in me. It says, and had gone with the multitude, and went up with them to the house of God. It says, with joy, and it says, and praise. And so here's what happens. Those that are heading to the house of God, they're heading up to the house of God, but they're heading up to the house of God with joy and praise. Now, don't get mad at me tonight, but the Baptists were shouting 1,600 years before there ever was a Pentecostal or a Charismatic or a TBN or a praise and worship team. I'm saying tonight, you can shout in church if you want to. You can do that. You know, you say, well, you're in a Baptist church, but no Baptist church ought to be a dead church. Oh, we didn't come to church tonight to go to a funeral service. Hey, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Now, the Bible teaches that they came to the house of the Lord with a voice of joy, the Bible says, and with praise. The Bible says in Psalm 116 and verse 19, the Bible says, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of Jerusalem, it says, praise ye the Lord. Psalm 150 and verse 1, the Bible says, praise ye the Lord. It says, praise God in his sanctuary. And so, how is it that you praise God? God teaches us in the Word of God how to praise him. Let me give you some examples of God teaching us how to praise him in the house of God. Statement number one, you'll see you can praise him by singing. Amen. By singing. All right? The Bible says in Psalm 149 in verse 1, the Bible says, and praise ye the Lord. It says, sing unto the Lord a new song. And it says, his praise in the congregation of the saints. All right? So one of the ways to be able to praise the Lord is to praise the Lord by singing. You know, when it comes time to sing, open up the hymn book and use the hymn book and sing. Sing out. The Bible says over in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 12, it says, saying, I declare, it says, thy name unto the brethren. In the midst of the church, I will sing praise unto thee. All right, so sing. You know, you have opportunity to use your voice to sing in a choir. We have 6 different choirs here. We have a primary choir, and we have a junior choir, we have a teen choir, we have a college choir, we have an adult choir, and we have a bus ministry choir. So we have 6 different choirs here. Well, certainly somebody ought to be able to plug in somewhere and sing. You know, you ought to be able to join something and sing somewhere. You know, you ought to be able to sing in the congregation. Those boys, those men that got up here just a few minutes ago and they sang. Boy, I tell you what, that'll stir your heart. That'll get you moving. Now, can I tell you tonight, a way to praise God is by singing. Statement number one. Statement number two, by shouting amen. Amen. You know, that is a Bible term, amen. In Nehemiah chapter 5 and verse 12, the Bible says, and all the congregation said amen and praise the Lord. Did you know that you can say amen? Saying amen to a preacher is like saying go sick them like to a dog. You know, it kind of shows that you agree with the preacher a little bit. Kind of shows you agree with the truth a little bit. The Bible says, and it says, by lifting up your hands, by the lifting of the hands. Many times you'll see Brother Champion and some dear people that's in our church, and you'll see us on the platform. All of a sudden, somebody's singing a song, or our preacher's hitting something, and boy, the Holy Ghost of God just gets a hold of somebody. Many times they'll just raise their hand. They'll raise their hand. And that's not an unscriptural thing to do. That is found in your Bible. You say, well, I'm not used to doing that because I'm a timid Baptist. Well, get over it. Okay, you, here's what the Bible says. The Bible says over in Psalm 63 and in verse 4, the Bible says, thus will I bless thee, it says, while I live. I will lift up my hands, it says, in thy name. Listen to it. It says over in Psalm 134 and in verse 2, the Bible says, lift up your hands. It says, in the sanctuary. By the way, this is called the sanctuary. That's where you sit tonight. The Bible says, and bless the Lord. Okay, you say, but you understand, I'm timid and I'm shy. You know, that's not true. You know, most people would say I'm timid and shy. When they find something that they like, they get involved. I've seen people would say they're timid and shy, but when they come to watch their kids play a ball game, they all of a sudden come out of their timosity. I've seen people, I'm telling you, I've seen people watch ball games on television. While watching something else, they're falling asleep. They're lethargic. And they're falling asleep almost out of the chair. But all of a sudden, when their player gets the touchdown, they almost tackle the television. Okay? Now, I'm saying, how do you praise the Lord? By lifting up your hands. How do you praise the Lord? By clapping. Clapping your hands. You say, that's in the Bible? Sure is. Psalm 47 and verse 1. The Bible says, oh, clap your hands, all ye people. And it says, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Can you imagine somebody say, oh, that's good. Oh, that's good. Wow. And by the way, you see that. Isn't it amazing how we give attributes and how we take and give excitability to that which is a ballgame? But we don't do that to God. Now tell me tonight, why is it that the ball game deserves more attention than God? Now I'm saying this tonight, understand there is ways to be able to praise the Lord. You know, how is it tonight that we're supposed to respond to that which is God telling us to fill the house of God? Filling the house of God with what? You fill the house of God with people. You fill the house of God, number two, with praise. You fill the house of God how? By participation. Number three, participation. Participate. Psalm 84 and verse 10, the Bible says, for a day in the courts is better than 1,000. He said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper. This is David. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. A doorkeeper, that's somebody that's participating. They're not coming to observe, they're coming to participate. They're not coming as a spectator, they're coming to be a servant. They're not coming to sit, they're actually getting involved and serving there. And by the way, you can participate. How do you do that? Song service. Song service. All of a sudden when Brother Palmore gets up and Brother Palmore says, hey, open your hymn books too. You know, this is a hymn book. You can open it where he says to open it. And, you know, and he says, let's all sing together. Hey, can I tell you, singing helps you? Amen. When you sing, it does something inside of you. It helps you, if you will, please, not to be selfish on the inside. You say, well, I'm not enjoying my Christianity. Put some music in your life. Put some godly music in your life that's going to help direct your paths and help direct you in the way that you should go. David, all of a sudden, when David was around Saul and Saul became depressed, what did Saul do? Saul called for David, and David came and he played the harp. It was then the time of, I think it was Psalm 137, that the Israelites were known for hanging up. Was it 137 or 147? 137, the Israelites were known by hanging up their harps in the trees, and they refused to sing. But those that were around them wanted them to sing. You know, you said, but I can't sing. I can't carry a note in a bucket. Well, then carry it in two. But try. Try to sing. You say, if I sing, preacher, somebody around me is going to get disturbed. Somebody around you, dear friend, might need to be disturbed. Sing. You say, but it's good. The angels are going to weep, and Michael's going to go to war, and Gabriel's going to hang up his horn. That's all fine. Let them do what they want to do, but you sing. Now, I'm saying tonight, participate. You can participate in the song service. Hey, you can participate in shaking hands. We instituted handshaking time during our Sunday morning, Sunday night services. And hey, look, walk around. Look for visitors on purpose. Don't tackle them, but shake their hand. Go up to them and give them that goober smile, earlobe to earlobe, brush teeth or not, and smile and shake their hand. Make them feel welcome. Nobody in our church ought to come to church without feeling welcome, without feeling loved, without feeling encouraged. Hey, smile at them. Shake their hand. Invite them out. Treat them to steak. All the visitors say, keep it up, man. Keep it up. But shake the hands. Hey, by the way, you can participate in reading along with the scripture. You can participate, if you would please, by listening to the preaching. Amen. Listening to the preaching. You say, well, I've got a girlfriend, and I'm going to write her note. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to write her note. We'll do it, but not in church. Are you listening to me? Well, me and my wife, we had a fight, and I'm gonna work out my word plan. Well, don't do that in church. Might be better not do it at all. But don't do it in church. I'm saying listen to the preaching. Participate in the invitation. Listen to me good. Listen to me good. Invitation time is for you. One day my boys came to me many years ago. They said, Daddy, when are we supposed to go to the altar? I said, well, let's reason together. You ought to go to the altar when God speaks to your heart. That's a given. But I'll tell you what for sure, if there's a day when the preacher gets up and the Word of God is not preaching to you, then you ought to run to the invitation time faster than when God spoke to your heart. Get on your knees and say, God, why'd you leave me out? What's wrong in my life? You say, preacher, it sounds like people ought to go forward all the time. I've never seen somebody that had a hot trail to the altar that was quick to get backslidden. But I've seen people that don't have a hot trail to the altar, and before you know it, they start to get backslidden. You ought to come and pray. And by the way, talking to God a little bit is better than not talking to God at all. You see, when you come and talk to God a little bit, at least we know, and God knows, and it helps you to know that you're on talking ground. The altar is a place of sacrifice. The altar is a place of dedication. The altar is a place where people come and they do real business with God. And so let the altar be as much a part of your Christian growth as anything else. The invitation, participate. Finances. Finances. To whom much is given, much is required. And so as God blesses you financially, don't rob the Lord. Don't do that. Don't allow him to withdraw his protectionary plan from around your life. And you participate in the finances. Oh, what about this? What about winning souls? Winning souls. You say, I don't know how to talk to people. Carry some gospel tracts in your pocket and or in your purse, if you will, and be able to pass them out. If you're shy about that, lay them on the table when you leave. Take them to the restrooms and lay them in the restrooms. When you're trying on a new suit or a new suit of clothes, take it in that trying on room. And lay it in there. Leave it in there. Put it in the elevator. Somebody's going to pick it up. But take those gospel tracts and mail them off with all your bills. Get that gospel out there. Do as much as you can to get the gospel out. Somebody needs Christ, and they need to hear. Participate. Get involved in the nursery. Nursery. By the way, I don't think it's a fair thing if you have a baby, and you put the baby in the nursery, but you're not willing to work in the nursery. If you have a baby and you put the baby in the nursery, well, lend a helping hand. I'm saying tonight, participate. Participate in the bus ministry. We have a grand bus ministry. We run buses over the Dallas metro area, and we bring in underprivileged people that do not have another way to get the church. Hey, use your talents for the Lord, your abilities, your time. Use your resources. Use your gifts. Use your finance. Use your smile for the Lord. Amen. Go up to somebody and smile. You smile them long enough, they're going to ask you what's wrong with you. You'll be able to use that. Use your hands. Use your mouth for the Lord. Use your mouth. Use your life for the Lord. The Bible says, serve the Lord with gladness. It says, come before his presence with singing. Psalm 100 and verse 2. Psalm 102 and verse 22, the Bible says, and the people gathered together, it says, and the kingdoms, it says, to serve the Lord. Hey, if you can bake, bake for the Lord. If you can sing, sing for the Lord. If you can teach, teach for the Lord. If you can encourage somebody for the Lord. Put the Lord in as much of your life as you can squeeze him in there. If you can clean, clean for the Lord. Decorate, decorate for the Lord. All those that helped out with this Valentine's banquet that we had, churchwide Valentine's banquet. All the many hands and all those that worked so excessively hard. Brother Wislowski recognized them over in the Valentine's banquet. And my, how many workers there was that got involved and that participated in decorating and cooking and providing and serving and doing skits and singing songs and playing instruments and folding menus and decorating the tables, as well as the massive area over there in the gymnasium area. I'm saying use your talent for the Lord. Help somebody, build somebody, be able to use what you have for God. Participate. Statement number four, fill it with prayer. Fill it with prayer. Come to church prayerful. Come to church prayerful. Pray before you come. And say, God, show me. By the way, if you look for golden nuggets, you'll find them every time. Look for gold nuggets. Say, God, show me what you'd have me to learn. Show me some things that you would have for me. You know, teenagers ought to be teenagers of prayer. Adults ought to be adults of prayer. Fathers ought to be fathers of prayer. Mothers ought to be mothers of prayer. Children ought to be children of prayer. Brothers and sisters of prayer. You know, those that are husbands and wives of prayer, grandparents of prayer. I'm talking about youth workers ought to pray, and the staff ought to pray, and the bus workers ought to pray, and the Sunday school workers ought to pray. God's house ought to be called a house of prayer. The book of Mark chapter 11 and verse 17, the Bible says, and he taught, saying unto them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of all nations, the house of prayer. And so it ought to be known as the house of prayer. By the way, pray. Pray for the homes. Pray for the jobs. We have a Bible college here that young people have come now from all over different states that's coming here. And thank the Lord for it. But these young people need to be prayed for. Pray for them. Pray for those that are about you. Pray for those that's in the academies. Pray for those, if you would, that are teachers. Pray for the deacons. And pray for those that are church members and Sunday school teachers and bus workers and the pastor. And pray for those that all throughout the day you could be busy serving God. Somebody says, well, I tell you what, there's no places for me to serve. Well, I've just already named about 150. Pray. You know, that is serving God as you pray. You know, the house is known for music many times, the church house. It's known for that which is activities and fellowship and committees and social clubs and social groups and ball teams and missionary societies and religious gatherings and choirs and deacon boards and programs. Blah, 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 blah. But can I tell you tonight, it ought to also be known as a place of prayer. Prayer is what changes things. Say, my mother's not right with God. When'd you pray for her last? Yeah. Well, my daddy's not faithful to church. When'd you pray? Yeah. Brother Edipai, I think the family, Brother Nosa prayed for 26, 27 years. Then he came to church, received Jesus as his Savior, became one of my faithful friends and soul winners. We would go up, I never will forget, a couple of occasions. I'd go up and knock on the door, but Ed Pye was standing beside me, and somebody would be mean to me. Oh, he couldn't stand it if somebody was mean to his pastor. And so I'd knock on the door, and somebody would say, I'm not interested. He'd re-knock on the door. And he'd say, that's my pastor. Don't talk to him that way. Sure enough, the person would be standing there, apologize. He'd weigh people down. He'd say, hey, come over here. We've got something to tell you. And he would say, okay, Pastor, all yours. Then all of a sudden he got on fire. And then I'd share the plan of salvation, and after that he would share. Well, let me tell you why you need to come to church. He'd say, let me tell you, this preacher's preaching changed my life, and here's what he preached last Sunday, and you need to come and you need to hear him. It'll change your life too. Boy, I tell you, when Brother Edipai went home to be with the Lord, I wept like a baby. I lost a dear friend. Now, can I tell you tonight that the house of God needs to be a house of prayer? Statement number next, I'm almost done. See, it's going through quick. It needs to be a place that's filled with people, filled with praise, filled with participation, filled with prayer, and filled with peace. Peace. Boy, I thank God there's no trouble in our church. Now, if it is, don't tell me. I don't want to know. I like it the way it is. Now, we've gone through troubled waters. Every church does. But right now, the spirit in our church is better than it's ever been under my pastorate. I'm so glad about that. Can I tell you this? Psalm 133 and in verse 1, the Bible says, behold, it says, how good and how pleasant is it for the brethren to dwell together in unity. Unity. Now, can I tell you, God wants to bless our church with harmony, not disharmony. Amen. He doesn't want us to be divisive. He does not want disunity, if I may say so, or discord, strife, division. No, the Bible says over in the book of Mark chapter 3 and in verse 25, the Bible says, and if a house be divided against itself, it cannot stand. We did a mail out this past week. I don't know how many thousands of letters are going out. Mrs. Cavanaugh and the devoted secretarial staff and volunteers have come in. And we went through all of these. I say we, not me, but they. Went through all these addresses, calling over 6,000 churches, making sure that the pastors' names were right, making sure the mailing addresses were right, 6,000 churches, making sure that everything was corrected, and we're getting ready. It's going out on Tuesday, mail out, telling about the three major conferences that we have every year. The Baptist Leadership Conference and the Ladies Conference and the Youth Revival, the Youth Conference, and going out to thousands of churches that's all over, that's within a 5 or 6 hour driving range, and telling about the promotions and telling about the excitability and the classes we're going to offer to be able to help people. And I'm looking forward to hundreds and hundreds of people coming to these conferences as they build and as they grow over the years. Now, can I tell you something, however? I don't want them to come to a place where there's not peace. I want them to be able to see people walking down the hallway and they have a smile on their face. And they've got peace in their heart. By the way, what's in the heart truly does come out. You know, if there's fussing and fighting with the kids, many times it is displayed on your face. With a husband, it's displayed on your face. With a church member, it's displayed on your face. You know, the Lord was coming back and talking to those that was in the garden, and Cain, if you would, rose up against Abel and killed his brother Abel. And the very first thing he took and said to Cain is, Cain, your countenance hath fallen. Many times we can read a person's heart by the evidence of the countenance that's on the face. And by the way, that's good to be able to smile a little bit in church. That even helps the preacher. Can I say tonight, fill the house of God with peace. Have peace with each other. Don't criticize the brethren. Don't get easily offended. Don't get into squabbles, if you will. Don't wear your feelings on your shirt sleeves so that you're easily offended and somebody hurts your feelings. Grow up. Forgive somebody. Receive forgiveness. When somebody forgives you, remove the bitterness, remove the envy, remove the strife, if you will. Come to church and look forward to being a blessing to people, and stay out of holding grudges, and get away from the bitterness, and get away from the brokenheartedness and the wounded spirit that you carry around with you. Let Christ, here's a thought, let Christ forgive people through you. Somebody comes to me and they say, well, I just can't forgive somebody. Well, that just kind of shows me that a person is really not right with the Lord. Because it's not about you forgiving somebody. It's about you being a vessel and allowing Christ to forgive through you. Amen. If you're close to the Lord can forgive through you. But if you're not close to the Lord, then if you can't forgive, if you can't help somebody, then there's a problem with your relationship with the Lord. But when you're close to the Lord, oh, doesn't it say in the scriptures, great peace have they that love thy law. That's the Bible, the Word of God, Scripture. Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. So if a person's not close to the Lord, certainly they'll be offended. They get their feelings hurt. All right? Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying Romans chapter 12 and verse 18, the Bible says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in me, it says, you're supposed to live, it says, to live peaceably with all men. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, the Bible says, we having therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially, it says, unto them who are of the household of faith. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32, the Bible says, be kind one to another, tenderhearted. It says, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10, the Bible says, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, it says, that ye all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you. Listen to it now. The Bible says, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. Bible says in Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 16, listen to it. It says, these six things does the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. Verse 17, a proud look, lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood. Verse 18, the heart that that deviseth wicked imaginations. It says, feet that be swift to run to mischief. Verse 19, the Bible says, a false witness, it says, that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. So when a person is sowing discord among the brethren, he's a divider, a talebearer. Then I can tell you, that person is doing something that the Lord God hates. Can I tell you tonight, we ought to be a people that bring other people to church. Fill the church house with people. Fill the church house with praise. Fill it with participation. Fill it with prayer. Fill it with peace. I'll give you one more thing and I'm done. And here it is. Fill it with power. Fill it with power. You know, there are football games that are filled with people, but there's no God's power there. You can go tonight to a basketball arena, but there's no God's power there. You can go tonight to a basketball stadium or a baseball stadium, if you will, and there's no power there. Go to the hockey coliseums, no power of God there. Go to the shopping malls, no power of God there. Go to the amusement parks, but no power of God there. Go to the secular state universities, but no power of God there. Go to refined restaurants, but no power of God there. Go to churches across America, and shame, 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 no power of God there. I'm saying that the house of God ought to be known as a place of God's power. One more verse, here it is. In the book of Revelation, chapter 15, you'll see that the temple was filled with smoke. The Bible says, from the glory of God, it says, and from his power, and no man was able to enter into of the temple. Now, I'm saying tonight that you and I ought to decide that we are going to fill the house of God. There's a way to fill it. There's a way to fill it. God said, hey, I want it filled. How do I fill the house of God tonight? I fill it with people. I fill it with people. Isn't it amazing? Now, I know we're in Western civilization, but let me tell you something. Isn't it amazing when I go to third world countries to preach, and many of you have been with me to the Philippines, and of course, the other countries like Thailand or Cambodia or West Africa, or with Brother Paliwatha go to India, and you go to places like that, they're hungry for the Word of God. Hungry, listen to what I'm saying, hungry for the Word of God. And they're so hungry for the Word of God that they come and they fill the house of God. Now, I can tell you, people in the West are so preoccupied with trying to be successful. I need extra sleep. I need extra sleep. I need extra energy, that they prioritize themselves over the house of God, over that which is the directions that God gives from his word. I fear for America. I do. I fear for America. I remember when England was a hotbed for Bible preaching churches and soul winning. Then England became materialistic, and materialism ruined England. They shut their church doors. Germany, if you will. Other places. I fear America, if we're not careful, will slide into that same type of slippery type of way where somebody says, well, I'll only go to church if I feel like it. God's not important in my life. I'll do what I want to do. Doesn't matter what God wants. I fear. Used to be a time in America, check it out, look at it, check it out. Used to be a time in America where the houses of God were jam-packed. People were waiting outside. They couldn't wait to get in. Didn't matter if it was snowing outside, sleeting outside. Did not matter if it was ice cold outside. They put on their wintry jackets and their wintry caps and their mitts, and they would stand outside in freezing cold. Just couldn't wait to get in and get a seat in the house of God. Now, I don't see that much anymore. Not in our state. I don't see that much anymore. Not in our country. I don't see that much anymore. But when I travel across the sea, when I go to Southeast Asia, Brother Bontegal, is it not true? The houses of God are packed. People bringing people. And I'm not talking about people. I know I preach for Brother Ed Lorena, and on big days, it's nothing uncommon that people, I'm talking about people, Bible college students will have 100 visitors. Just one or two or three of them or four or five of them, 100 visitors each, you know, and they're with it and they're excited, and the thing is just packing out. Now, by the way, it can do that today here. Amen. It can do that today here. The power of God is not restricted. Amen. The power of God is not limited. Amen. It's just, people look at the church here and they say, oh, it's amazing what God is doing, and we're growing, and that's a wonderful thing. But can I tell you something for sure? Can I tell you, I look out many times and I see on a Sunday morning as we have people that fill the place down bottom, but just sparsely a little bit up top. And can I tell you, I maybe I'm wrong about this, but I look at it and say, what a shame. What a shame. You know, why isn't that one filled? Now, by the way, help me out a little bit. What are you doing to fill the house of God with people? Have you invited your neighbor? Have you invited those that you work with for? Have you invited clients? Have you invited those that, your dentist, your doctor, your lawyer? I mean, have you invited the guy in the grocery mart? Have you invited him gas station-wise? But can I tell you something for sure? If everybody would just get excited about inviting people to church and just go out and give them a gospel tract and just say, hey, come on, come on. Do you realize if everybody just decided to bring one? Just one. And just imagine tonight. And boy, I thank the dear people that's here. Dear brother saw us and walked in on his own, and others here tonight. People driving a distance to see some friends and here tonight. But can you imagine if we got the fire back the way it used to be? Can you imagine if everybody said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go get at least one. At least one. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine? We average, three something on a Sunday night. And can you imagine all of a sudden everybody bring one? This place would double. Now, you say, preacher, you're just wanting the people to preach to. No, I preached in churches where there's only five. And I preach the same truth. My family can witness it. They can testify of it. Boy, I'll get up and I'll preach and I'll say, this is what the Bible says. This is what we ought to do. And I'll preach it with the same vigor, the same energy, if you would please, the same type of trying to convince them to obey God. But isn't it better for 10 to hear it more than 5? Amen. And isn't it better for 50 to hear it more than 5? Or how about 500 more than 50? Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying the Word of God, that's the important thing. Look, we've only got a little time and we're gone. Do you realize that? Do you realize that? Do you realize that? A little bit of time you've got on this earth and we're all gone. We're all gone. I think of different ones that I've touched shoulders with over the years. Just here as pastor, I've touched shoulders with over the years. Brother Ed Pyatt, I mentioned him a few minutes ago, and so many other ones. I could name them. I'm not going to, but I could name them all. And so many people I've touched arms with over the years, and they're gone. I mean, they're gone home to be with the Lord. They're gone. Died. Life expired. And by the way, some of you that are old-timers that's been here for a long time, you've seen people that were alive that are now gone. Now, can I tell you, look for sure, you don't, Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You don't know how much longer you've got. So why not use it for the Lord Jesus? Why not, instead of just floating through life, make yourself valuable as an instrument, a vessel, if you would please, as Paul called it, a vessel worthy unto honor.
Yes, sir.
And give yourself to the servants of Jesus Christ. Don't just float through. Don't just float through. I tell you what, these guys up here, it's on platform, they know it. And I try my hardest to get people in church. I try my hardest. I'll go after people and I stay. My dear wife, she sacrifices. My children, they sacrifice many times without a husband and without a daddy being around. And they never complain. They never belly ache. They're always being good and helping and supportive and things of that nature. But can I tell you, listen, for sure, I'm telling you, if you decided just to do your part, and you decided, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get people in church, and I'm going to help them to grow. You don't know what's going to happen years to come. I'll name some places. Highland Park Baptist Church used to be one of the strongest independent Baptist churches in the state of Tennessee. There was a day when that great Highland Park Baptist Church, underneath the administration of Dr. Lee Robertson, used to run 6,000 and 7,000, 6,000 and 7,000. Today, the church doesn't even exist. Used to have a Bible college, and they would have at least 1,000 students a year that would come to the Chattanooga, Tennessee area for training, and the doors are closed. Dr. Tom Malone used to have a Bible college called Midwestern. That's where you graduated from, wasn't it? You went to school there. Your dad went to Midwestern. And if it's existing today, I think it still is, but it's not as big as what it used to be. Now, can I tell you, listen, I'm saying that the place I graduated from, I don't tell people where I graduated from. And I know this is on the iPod internet thing, yeah. But I'm ashamed of it. I'm just ashamed of it. They have compromised. They have thrown their standards out the back door. I'm ashamed of it. I preach in youth camps and things of that. And I never tell anybody where I went to Bible college. You couldn't drag it out of me. You know, I don't even put up my graduate diploma. I don't even do it. You never see it in my office. I'm ashamed of it. You know why? Because they have compromised. They've laid down the Bible and picked up everything else under heaven. And I'm just ashamed of it. Now, can I tell you for sure, things change. Things change. I know independent Baptist churches now that drop Baptists off of their name. I know independent Baptist preachers that use the NIV, RSV, ASV, MIC, KEY, MOUSE. I want to tell you tonight, things have changed. Never in my life did I ever think that you'd see a day when people would compromise and start using perversions of the Bible like they do today. But it's changed. It's changed. You come to church and now you got the praise and worship leaders that's up there, and they're up there dancing around their little fruity outfits, and it's changed. It's changed. You know, it's all about drama. It's all about this. And I'm telling you, listen to me. I'm saying that the Bible is still true, and we can still obey the Bible. And you ought to come to church. Why? Not because of a music program and not because of a drama program, but hey, let God be God and every man a liar, and rise up and listen to old-fashioned preaching, and let's decide we can do something to fill the house of God. By the way, you listen. God still saves people the same way. He does. And I'm going to tell you something. God puts a desire inside of a person when they get saved. The Bible says they hunger and thirst after what? Drama. They hunger and thirst after what? Praise and worship. You know, lights on the platform. Look like some bar place. You know, they hunger and they thirst after righteousness. Righteousness. You know, righteousness exalteth a nation. Righteousness. You get that righteousness inside of you, and I tell you, it'll change you. Now, can I tell you something? I'm saying that God can do it right here. I look out over the Dallas Metro, and I'm not trying to be mean, but I'm going to be mean. And I see churches that's compromised all over the place. And they come in for some type of program, you know, and there's not much Bible teaching or preaching. Now, can I tell you, somebody's got to do something. And I'm not saying we're all the answer, and I dare not say that we're the only church that does the things that are right, but I'm saying we offer that which is right. You don't have to worry about bringing people to church. You have to apologize to them when you get on the parking lot. We're not going to do anything to disgrace the name of the Lord. Amen. Well, you know, I'm afraid if I bring a friend that they'll be embarrassed. Only if you embarrass them. Yeah. We're not going to embarrass them. We're going to try and help them. We're going to love them. We're going to point them to God. We're going to help them to be right. Now I'm saying tonight, fill the house of God. Fill the house of God. And you let God use you. And by the way, it's not a hard thing to do. It really isn't. You know, you open your mouth to make your sales. You can open your mouth for Jesus. It's not a hard thing to do. You know, you get out there, to be honest with you, you get out there and, if this was a Bible track, and you get out there and just you pass them out. Oftentimes I go in and say, hey, I'm Pastor Wells, just like to invite you to church. And we got a good people, we got a good Bible, and you ought to come. And just be friendly, be casual, be cordial, be kind, but extend that invitation. And you invite people, and you love people, and you encourage people. It's not about building a big church. Get that out of your head. Get your philosophy right. It's about reaching as many people as we can and training them. Somebody loved you. That's why you're here. Well, love somebody else that much. Walk beside somebody else that much. You say, well, I got a friend, and if they come, watch this. I got a friend, and if they come, they don't agree with the way we are. But when you came, think about it, you didn't agree. How many have come to this church? Watch this. This amazes you. How many have come to this church, and because of the teaching and the preaching of this church, you have made some directional changes in your life? Raise your hand. Directional changes in your life. Well, looky there. You mean you didn't come here being, you mean the church has helped you? You mean preaching has helped you? You mean you have grown? You mean to tell me that maybe you've gotten stronger? Hello? I'm saying this. I'm saying go get yourself somebody. Love them and help them. Boy, I appreciate the families here tonight that I've had the privilege to reach, and you come faithful, and I love you. Many families, you know, that I've had the privilege to be able to love and encourage and to get in the church, and you're here and you've walked beside this preacher and you have helped people and you have sacrificed. And can I tell you, those Parkside Baptist Church members that voted me in, and boy, I tell you what, you have stayed by the stuff and you've stayed true and you've not jumped ship and you've not wore your feelings on your shoulders, and you have just come and you have dove in and you're serving the Lord Jesus Christ and you're giving it everything that you got. Hey, thank God for you. But can I tell you, there's a whole world out there to be able to reach. And all God wants us to do is just give it the best shot we got. We can fill the house of God. And as we do that, we can fill it with the right way that we are in the house of God.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.